Good morning, and welcome to the Sports Party Podcast. I'm your host, Crystal Pratt, and I hope you're happy to be here because I'm happy to have you. If you're coming in from iTunes, welcome to the show. We're happy to have you. If you are a listener every week, I'm definitely happy to have you. Thank you for listening. I will, under this again, this podcast again, throw the link to the iTunes page. Download us, rank us, give us a rating on there, throw some stars. If you don't like us, please don't rank us. But if you do like us, rank us, because I don't want any crappy stars. I don't want any ones and two stars. I want fives, all fives. You hear that laughter in the back and behind me, and I want to introduce this fellow to you. He is one of my favorite co-hosts of the two or three that I have. He's one of my favorites. I'm not going to play that game. Patrick Willis, welcome to the podcast. How you doing tonight, bud?
I'm glad you asked me how I'm doing, man. I'm doing fantastic, buddy, because it's basketball season.
Hooray!
I just wanted to wish everyone out there a happy, happy basketball season. As it stands currently, there are three undefeated teams and three victoryless teams. Those undefeated teams are Arizona, St. John's, and Mississippi State. Congratulations to them. I'll send it back over to you, man. I just want to let everyone know that I'm excited it's basketball season.
Yeah, and speaking on that, Pat and I are going to get together again in a couple days on this podcast. We're actually recording this on Tuesday night. I know we normally put a podcast out on Tuesday. We're going to put it out on Wednesday because we had some, I'm putting air quotes around, technical difficulties with our podcast last night. We weren't able to put it out, so we're recording this again. I'm sure the jokes will be different. The content will be different. But me and Pat are going to get together again on Wednesday night and do a basketball preseason preview, names the teams we're excited about. Yeah, name the teams we're excited about and kind of break down the season. And Pat and I are also going to be doing a power ranking for the basketball teams of the ACC. We haven't had a third member yet. But listen, if you want to be that third member, email me, message me, tweet me, whatever you want to do. Email us at thesportsparty@gmail.com. And we would love to have you be our third person on the power rankings. It's a fun thing to do. Pat, you do it already for football. It's fun, right?
It's fun. We'll let all our listeners know that if they do want to be on the Basketball Sports Party Podcast, they're going to have to pass a very rigorous test.
Yep.
It involves a physical test, a mental test, and an emotional test.
Wow.
But they are welcome to try. No, I'm just playing.
I was like, do I have to take this test? This is something I'm not privy to.
We need some help right now on these power rankings.
Yeah, I would love to have a third person. And if you know, if you want to, talk to me about it. I'd love to have you. It'll be fun. So if you want to do it, if you know basketball and you like to write, those are the two main things I'm looking for. Other than that, anything else crazy, that's on you. But I really want you to be able to write and enjoy basketball. So that's the thing. Well, on the first half of this podcast, there is no way we could get, you know, through this podcast and not mention what's going on at Penn State right now. I think the first thing that I want to say is that what has happened there is horrible. What happened with that defensive coordinator and those kids, that's a horrible thing. And that makes me sad as a human being that kind of stuff happens. You know, I don't know. It's hard for me to get all my feelings out, and I think it is for a lot of people. But that happening makes me sad as a human being. That being said, you know, this is affecting a lot of people, and this reflects poorly on. I will say this reflects poorly on Joe Paterno. He seemed to know something about what was going on, and. You know, I will say all he did was tell the people above him, and they chose to cover it up. So there's a lot of people that come out of this mishandling what happened. I mean, what happened was horrible, and how these people acted knowing the information is horrible. So it's been a tricky few days for Penn State, and they are, you know, I don't know what all is going to come out of this. It doesn't look like Joe Paterno is going to be the coach after the season. Probably. Maybe not even until the end of the season, he'll be gone. It looks like a lot of people up top are going to be losing their jobs, justifiably so. They should be. Those are people that, you know, there's probably going to be legal action taken against them as well for knowing what they knew and not doing anything about it. So, you know, it's hard for me to say this is a football issue. You know, reading stuff today, I've seen if there's ever a time for the death penalty. Well, I don't think I don't think this is a football issue. I don't think this is an NCAA issue. This is a human being issue where there's just horrible human beings. And that's kind of what I want to say about it. I don't think the NCAA, this is not an NCAA issue at all. I think this is people doing things that are illegal and morally horrible. So
I would just add that, yeah, the NCAA is not a legal standard by anybody to follow. So yeah, this is going to be something that's going to be followed up by all the legal authorities and the state of Pennsylvania. I don't know if it's, I'm guessing it'd probably be a county thing or a citywide thing in Happy Valley. But yeah, I would just like to add, you know, this is a very sensitive issue. We do want to keep in mind that, we want to make sure that if anybody is reporting on this, they maintain the idea that we do wish the best for the victims of the defensive coordinator accused of molesting these kids. But with that said, I will add on that, I don't want to be play devil's advocate, and I'm not going to, because in a situation like this, it's reprehensible to do such. But these are atrocious things, and I think, and you know, they're gonna automatically reflect poorly on the University of Pennsylvania State. I don't know if that's said the right way, but in state, they're going to reflect poorly on them. But you know, it's a shame that should happen, because like I've told you, it's sad when one bad apple ruins the bunch. I guess a few bad apples in this scenario, but you know, they're a good bunch of apples in Pennsylvania. I don't mean for that to sound goofy by any means, because like I said, this is a sensitive issue, and we wish Penn State, you know, as well as any of the victims from the molestations, you know, we wish them luck in the future, and we hope that they recover from this in a positive way, as well as that, you know, anyone that was accused, or not just accused, anyone that did commit any wrongdoings, we hope that the justice is brought against them, because this is a terrible crime, you know, but it's a very sensitive issue. We hope that nothing bad comes out of it for anyone involved, except for those that have done bad.
Right, right now, everything that comes out will reflect poorly on Penn State. I mean, everyone involved in this case so far is in some way, you know, involved at Penn State. All of them are on staff there in different capacities. But I don't think, I'm not going to say that this is something that it runs rampant at Penn State. I think this is a small group, but I think you're right. Everything right now will shine poorly on Penn State, but I think coming out of it, I hope that it doesn't taint the reputation of that university. And maybe it will. I mean, this is some pretty heavy stuff going on there. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. And, you know, it's hard not to. I had my TV on kind of all day, just kind of glued to it and just the media coverage of it. Had it on ESPN most of the day. And this is just kind of one of those stories that, you know, breaks your heart. But at the same time, you can't cut it off. So we'll see. There's going to be a lot more said about this over the next very long time, not days, but weeks and months. So, there's no easy way to kind of transition from that, and I'm not going to try to make it a segue, but I'm just going to say, you know, we're going to leave that there, and we're going to go back to talking about football, and just a clean cut. So, Pat, what I want to do now is we had the game of the century played on Saturday night, and, you know, number one versus number two, LSU, Bama. We discussed it last week on the podcast. That was a good conversation. But LSU went to Tuscaloosa, came back with the win, 9-6, a defensive battle, maybe even a special teams battle. You know, what were your thoughts on the game?
I thoroughly enjoyed the game. I wouldn't say it was the greatest game of the century. It was a great game, but I wouldn't, after the fact, anoint it as the greatest game of the century, even though there's a lot of people out there that like to anoint things before the fact. But I don't think it was the greatest game of the century, just because I don't think it had enough for everyone. I'm a huge defensive guy. I love to watch defenses hold teams to less than 10 points, but I don't necessarily prefer to see teams run a scoreboard to 70 points because after a while it just gets boring watching all those touchdowns. But I guess I'm maybe in the minority in that. But you know, I was this was a good game. This was a very good game. I really think that it was more a battle of field position as much as anything. I think and with that said, I think Alabama won that. I think you know, the few times that LSU was able to get into Alabama territory and score field goals, basically came after a missed field goal by the by the Alabama kicker. And now I wouldn't say that he was at fault for this loss. I think a lot of people might jump to that conclusion just by seeing that he lost four field goals. They missed four field goals. I will say that his closest one was from 44, 45 yards, and that was at a bad angle. The other three from that were 50 yards plus. And we knew coming into this game that Alabama didn't have a great kicker, and we didn't expect him to be able to kick 57-yard field goals. But with that said, you know, I was most surprised about the turnovers. I think last week in the podcast, Mitch, I think he mentioned that he thought there was going to be a lot of turnovers in this game, and when he said that, I thought that might have been. I didn't agree with that. I thought that these teams, as good as their defenses are at, you know, forcing turnovers, and as good as they are just as a defense, which is something that, you know, is a turnover factor, I really felt like these quarterbacks coming in, I think they combined had thrown about four, maybe a little more, maybe up to five turnovers throughout their entire season. So the fact that this game itself had four turnovers, that was a little surprising to me. But you know, I really enjoyed the game, and I'm really glad LSU pulled it out in the end, because I'm a closet LSU fan, not just this year, but most years, every SEC team. So, but anyways, going forwards, I'm glad I got to see this game.
Yeah, good game. I think you're right. I mean, I would have hoped for another touchdown or so. I mean, you know, obviously these are two great defenses, but I think there was also times where there was offenses that weren't executing well. You know, that plays into it as well. There were opportunities there. It wasn't all great defense. That's what I'll leave it at. There were opportunities for both offenses to do more, and they didn't. But still a great game. You know, I think what I'm going to say, my play of the game or whatever, is that Eric Reed interception at the 1 yard line, where the running back, they were in that wildcat or whatever, you know, you call it, a different school.
Marquise Mays in the near the end zone. Yeah.
Yeah, that Eric Reed interception was huge.
Huge play for that game. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the cool thing was, is if you watch it, and they've broke this down, and you guys have seen it, but he's covering the receiver going across, and he just he reads it and sees it, and sees where the ball's going, and makes a play on a completely different receiver. Very impressive play on that kid's part. I mean,
took it away from him in midair.
Yeah.
I mean, Marquise Mays had possession of that ball coming to the ground. Not anymore once he hit the ground.
Yeah, very impressive play. You know, so there were big defensive plays across the board, but that one stands out. And you're right, the kicking game. I mean, four missed field goals. That's 12 points off the board. I mean, we're, you know, at that point we're looking at an 18-9 game. If those field goals go in.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're fine.
I said, I don't think we should expect that young kicker to be able to hit those long field goals. I mean, that's 50 yards. That's almost professional length field goals. And now he is a collegiate field goal kicker at the University of Alabama, which is, you know, stepping stone to the pros. But you know, it's a long field goal to hit. I don't know if anybody's ever tried to kick it from a 32-yard line, but that's a long field goal to kick.
No, I mean, you know, but that's his job, man. I mean, and the coaches thought that he could go out there and line it up and kick it. So, I mean, if they stick you out there, I mean, it's not his job, but that's what his scholarship's for. So, maybe it's on him, maybe it's on the coaches for putting him out in that situation. But
I will say, I'm growing more and more in my fandom of the Honey Badger every day.
Yeah.
The Honey Badger's the man.
He's good. I like that guy. Well, I guess my final question for you is, you know, do you want to see this game again in a national championship?
Me? No, I do not want to see this game again. I would say under different circumstances, say this game was played in Baton Rouge, I do think Alabama would have a stake in saying they play on neutral field, have a second chance of winning this game. Because honestly, I mean, if you ask me, Alabama won this game on the stat sheet, but they just weren't able to pull it through in the end. Special teams. I mean, it was that close of a game. But you know, this game was played in Alabama. It was played in Tuscaloosa, so they really have no stake in saying that they played a team and showed their best, because they were favored in this game. Like I said, I think one of the people said last week in the podcast, they've had their chance. I mean, they've had their chance. They had all the circumstances in their favor. So
yeah,
you know, I like the idea if there are two undefeated teams left, I think those two teams should go up to. I'm expecting LSU to be undefeated. I know you think that they still, and they do. They just do have a tough test in Arkansas, but I expect LSU to be undefeated at the end of the season. If there's another team, I think those two teams should play. Now, if Boise State is the next best undefeated team left, I can't say that I favor them over a one-loss SEC team.
Right.
I do think Alabama forfeited their shot at the national championship by losing this game in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think, these teams might be number one and number two, but even at the end of the season, these might be the two best teams, but I think somebody else gets their shot in a national championship. I'd love to see Andrew Luck in Stanford. If Andrew Luck's who we think he is, I'd love him to see him play this team. So, you know, that's kind of what I've got my fingers crossed for. But that's not to say that Alabama might not be the second best team in the country. They might be, but somebody else gets their shot at the end of the season. There was something you said that triggered something in my brain. I can't remember. I'm sorry. Well, Pat, I guess that's about it. I appreciate you being on.
Oh, yeah, man. Always glad to be on. I think I'll see you in a couple days. Maybe tomorrow.
We might see each other tomorrow? We'll talk tomorrow.
I'm looking at you right now, but I think we're doing another podcast soon, right?
Yeah, I think tomorrow. I think we're going to do that tomorrow. I'm very excited.
I'm going to go do some studying then.
Yeah. I need to get in there.
Those tricky questions you
asked. Oh, yeah, they're so tricky. I do appreciate you being on. Hey, guys, don't cut this podcast off just because Pat's leaving. I'm going to drop in some music right here, and when we get back, I've got I'm going to have a special guest on, a super special guest, one that I'm excited to have on, and we're going to discuss the big matchup this weekend, or not even this weekend, Thursday night, very excited, Virginia Tech versus Georgia Tech down in Atlanta for the Coastal Division Championship, maybe. UVA might have a little something to say about that, but as of right now, I'm taking this as the championship. So stick around, come back, listen to this music for a few seconds, and we'll be back.
Are you about to say yeah?